Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke filling in for Lori Walsh. Governor Dugard has called a special session of the South Dakota Legislature. Major party candidates in South Dakota's U.S. House race are calling victory, at least in the polls. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds met with constituents in Sioux Falls Thursday, and news of the scheduling of the execution of Rodney Burgett also in the news this morning. Those are some of the items we'll get into with the Dakota Political Junkies. This time around, we're joined by Sioux Falls Argus Leader Watchdog Government and Politics reporter Dana Ferguson. Dana joins us from the Sioux Empire Fair. Dana, what's going on out there?
Well, your listeners might be able to hear it, but there's some music jamming in the background right now. Various elected officials and candidates, as well as other organizations, are out here making sandwiches for ag producers and chatting with them. So it's a very busy scene. Lots of fried food being consumed. fun being had.
It's great atmosphere, and it's a great time for the candidates to press the flesh, isn't it?
It is. Oh, my goodness. There are many of them, and they are out here in full force trying to meet as many voters as they can.
Definitely. Also with us is Madison Daily leader publisher John Hunter. John, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yeah, John, I got to tell you, I got back from Montreal. You knew about my trip, and I actually made it back 3 days there, and all I needed was bien, bonjour, and parlez-vous anglais. I didn't need any other. It was successful.
You were able to have enough meals to maintain sustenance.
Absolutely, and that was a key part of that deal, too. Well, let's start with the news that broke this morning of Rodney Burgett's execution. Gary Ellenbolt covered that well at the top of the hour with comments from Attorney General Marty Jackley. But even though the execution is scheduled for October 28th through November 3rd, it does sound like there are some possibilities where there could be delays or possibly a stay or anything like that. John, I'll give that to you.
Yes, it appears, I'd say it almost likely that there would be further delays. Remember, that was been convicted of killing prison guard Ron Johnson in 2000. I think it was, 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah, 2011 it looks like.
Yeah, so 7 years ago. Yeah. But these things go on forever, and depending on circumstances, it seems like there are always more delays. And Burgett has attempted some of those delays, so his compatriot in it did not, and that he was executed modestly quickly after that. So, yes, I would guess that there could be further delays.
Right. If there aren't, the public is notified within 48 hours of the execution, and as always, a group of the Attorney General himself, a judge, the state's attorney, sheriff's office, representatives of the victims, people, at least one member of the media would be there as well. Dana or John, have you ever been to one of these?
I haven't. I don't know if John has.
No, and I have no interest in doing so.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That would be kind of a strange deal. So anyway, that was breaking this morning. We can move on from that. Dana, your article in the Argus Leader yesterday discussed the lawmakers assembling for a special session next month at the request of Governor Dugard. Fill us in on that, please.
Sure. So the governor's office yesterday announced that they're going to call lawmakers back to Pierre next month on September 12th to talk a little bit more about the state's e-retail sales tax law, which, as you'll recall, was the state won back in June when the U.S. Supreme Court weighed whether the law was constitutional. But rather than saying straight out whether or not the law should be allowed to remain on the books, they reversed and remanded. They sent it back to state court. And so now that'll be in the hands of a South Dakota court to decide whether it is constitutional, if it should be allowed to remain. But the governor said other states are being allowed to cash in on this beginning on October 1st. So South Dakota should find a way to hone the language in that 2016 law to make sure that as soon as possible, online retailers are being taxed the way that they've said they should be for years now.
Yeah, and as I read your article, it looks like other states around the country have South Dakota to thank for this.
Indeed they do, and I think some of them have thanked South Dakota. Others, I think, are just happy to be making a little bit more money, so I don't know that they've really sent in their thank you cards. Back in June, I know that Attorney General Marty Jackley was busy fielding phone calls after the decision came down. Attorney generals and other elected officials across the country thanking him and asking him sort of how South Dakota did it and what advice he would have for other states that want to pass similar laws or start cashing in.
And is the special session going to be in Sioux Falls?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That would be news to me.
Okay.
I'd heard Pierre, but if they want to move it to Sioux Falls, I'd welcome that.
I think the confusion from that came from the fact that he announced it in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
Yes.
But no, it's in Pierre.
John, when the legislature meets for a special session like this, is there a cost to the state when there's a special session? Is there a cost when the group gets together after their regular session in the winter?
There is, and legislators are compensated for it, and I believe there is also some other people besides legislators who will be reimbursed for travel and so forth. But yes, there is a cost to that. I think it's, in the big scheme of things, it's tends to be modest, but anytime additional money is spent on something like this, I think it gets questioned a little bit. And the debate really is this something worth waiting for next January when they meet in regular session? I think it's probably unanimous that it was not worth waiting. This process takes a long time. It's, as Dana was describing, it's pretty complex, having to do with the U.S. Supreme Court and, of course, state courts, the legislature, other states. There's a lot of things that need to be done. It wouldn't surprise me that there would be ongoing legislation that, even after the special session, that may have to do something later. I'm sure the governor and others are trying to get it all done in one session if they could, but I could see that there may be some things that would have to happen later.
At what point in time does the legislature decide how the revenue will be spent? Is that something they would do in this special session, or does that come later?
Well, there has been some debate about that, and especially as it relates, well, there's two parts to it, really. One is it relates to the sales tax increase for teacher pay a couple of sessions ago. There's something that would imply that any new revenue from that would be reflected in reducing the sales tax increase. That's particularly complex, but I think everyone is, maybe not everyone is in agreement, most people are in agreement, let's not spend it before we get it. There's a lot of steps to go through, so it may not be collected for a while. As Dana described, other states may be collecting it in a, before South Dakota, ironically.
Right.
But that they would have to, the money is not going to come in right away, and it's not worth talking about now how to spend that.
Right. Moving on, there was a story yesterday about the Democratic Party in South Dakota a little late getting their candidate certification turned in. They plan on meeting Friday to recertify their candidates. Is this pretty much a non-issue? It sounds like the deadline for parties to turn in their paperwork is August 14th. This turned out to be in the news. Is it an issue or a non-issue?
To me, it sounds like a non-issue. I'm sure folks will recall back a few weeks ago, Chair of the Republican Party, Dan Lederman, challenged the submission of candidates that the Democrats had put forth to the Secretary of State's office. He pointed out that they were missing some key signatures and that they had missed their deadline for filing after their June convention. So the Secretary of State looked at that, and she agreed, and she said, you know what, you all have to do this again. So they're going to be coming back to Sioux Falls on Friday, and it sounds like they're somewhat in agreement that there won't be any challenges to the slate of candidates that they picked out back in June, but I guess time will tell. There's always a chance for a surprise. I don't expect one, but we will see on Friday.
John, do you know of any surprises or have anything to add?
I don't think it's a problem at all. I think it's going to get worked out, but it is, I think, a good reminder to all candidates and political parties that there are rules in place and they aren't really bendable. That, you know, if they passed a rule to do something, it really should be followed. This one turns out to be kind of harmless because they're able to make amends before it matters anyway. But there are rules that go with these things, and I think this is a good way to remind people.
Yeah. I know polls is kind of a bad word when it comes to Dakota Political Junkie segments, but yesterday Dusty Johnson's campaign released a poll through his campaign showing a 21 percentage point lead over Democrat Tim Bjorkman in the race for the U.S. House of Representatives, and that was a poll that was sponsored by Johnson's committee. Trying to remember Public Opinion Strategies was the polling outfit. 54% for Johnson, 33% for Bjorkman, and 10% undecided. Even if polls are maybe skewed or coming from one of the candidates, do you think these numbers might actually kind of match where this campaign is at right now? I'll give that one to Dana.
When I look at it, it seems pretty accurate, and it was funny to see right after that came out, the announcement from the Johnson campaign, the Bjorkman campaign soon thereafter had another poll.
Right.
It looked like some organization that had commissioned it on their own and put forth numbers that were fairly similar, but interesting to see the different narratives that the campaigns used with it. The Johnson campaign was eager to say, we're doing well, we're ahead, people know Johnson's name better than they know Bjorkman's name. And then Bjorkman's camp was quick to say, well, we're coming up in the polls, we're doing better, people are getting to know us. And I think this is likely to be how we're going to see things go for the next couple of months. Certainly, this is not the only poll we're going to be seeing. I imagine as the next couple months roll by, we'll see many more polls that seem to uphold the messages the campaigns want to say. And certainly as folks are out and about this summer, they're going to see both of those people everywhere they go, not to mention the independent candidate running in that contest too. So it'll be exciting. And to what degree we value those polls, I guess it's hard to say. I think we have to take them with a grain of salt, but they can be informative.
John, with the nature of the political scene right now, there's a lot of talk about the Democrats really hoping to take back the House of Representatives in kind of an anti-Trump political season. Do you see the possibility of maybe more national polling being done here in South Dakota with respect to this race and possibly others within our state?
It's possible, but again, if it's true that Dusty has a sizable lead, it will not garner much attention. There are too many close races all around in much more expensive markets that the national party would get involved with. There is a little bit of an irony in this thing here, the fact that there was a Republican primary, two solid candidates. The irony I'm talking about is the fact that candidates have to spend a lot of money in a primary, which then deletes their or reduces their money for the general election. On the other hand, I think Dusty has succeeded in getting his name out a lot more versus Tim Bjorkman's name. But this will change during the course of the campaign. I mean, that's natural that there was all this attention to the Krebs-Johnson race, and now it's a new race, and I think during the course of the next couple of months, that name recognition will not be quite as substantial.
Right. Finally, yesterday, Senator Mike Rounds was in Sioux Falls. He attended a couple events. One was an agricultural-related event, and in the afternoon he spoke to constituents and answered questions at Grand Living here in Sioux Falls. Dana, I know you were at that event. I was there for part of the event. I heard reaction to the presentation. Everything from the audience being unhinged to the audience being respectful. What were your thoughts overall on the conversation yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of a potpourri of topics yesterday. They were in Sioux Falls, and the part that I saw was at the Grand Living at Lake Lorain facility. So the demographics were a little bit older, and I think he set the stage early saying, this is South Dakota. We want this to be sort of like a coffee clutch sit down. We don't want people to be disrespectful. We don't want disrespect toward the previous president, toward the current president. So he set the stage early on and said, let's keep this civil. Let's not be like other states where some of these open meetings have really taken a turn for the combative. But I think folks there were receptive to Senator Rounds. Certainly, they didn't all agree with everything that he had to say when he was asked about weapons bans, when he was asked about immigration and children who've been separated from their parents at the border. But overall, people seemed to leave there satisfied with the answers he gave. He was a little bit more open about opposing some of the president's policies that we've seen him say in the past. But in conversations and follow-up with reporters, he wasn't quite as open about some of that opposition or seemed to be more on board with the president than he'd alluded to in some of those answers to the people who came out. But overall, a lot of what we've heard from him in the past was sort of recited again. I guess I didn't have any super salient thoughts about it.
We actually, right after our Political Junkie segment, we do have some comments from both the senator and some questions from the audience. So we'll kind of highlight some of the topics that were focused on yesterday. One more thing before we go, and John, I'd like to ask you, Senator Rounds really focused in on cybersecurity, possible cyber war during his question and answer session, but in particular afterwards when In the Moment host Lori Walsh had a sit-down conversation with him yesterday afternoon. And you're in Madison where Dakota State University is, and that program has really grown as far as what they're doing with cybersecurity. And Senator Rounds was very complimentary about that and said a lot of people may not even realize how much is going on there, you know, in the war against cyber threats and things like that. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Sure. It's extraordinary. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. And Senator Rounds has made himself informed about this topic. He's called President Griffiths and attended events and learned a lot, even having hearings and so forth. As you know, he's on the chair of a subcommittee that is involved with this. But the battles are cyber battles seem to be everywhere. And, you know, kind of militarily, you know, obviously, things that may have to do with elections. There's a recent one. The South Dakota PUC is concerned about cyber attacks on our energy infrastructure. They're all over. And so the demand for Dakota State expertise and graduates and so on is just unbelievable. We're constructing a new building right now that is intended to be, it's called the Madison Cyber Labs, a huge facility, 40,000 square feet, secure, classified secure even, and with arrangements with a variety of agencies, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, and so on, and just to do all those kinds of things. And I think the battle is ramping up on all fronts.
Yeah, it's a good thing for South Dakota and a great thing for Madison as well. John, thank you so much for joining us. John Hunter from the Madison Daily Leader. Have a great afternoon, John.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. And Dana Ferguson joining us. Dana from the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, reporting today from the Minnehaha County Fair. Dana, or the Sioux Empire Fair, I should say. Dana, have a great afternoon out there.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.